Okay, we want you to open your Bible. I better look. I believe it's Mark 14 I want you to go to. Mark 14 for a little start off in the scripture tonight. Somebody in the tape room talked back to me. I'm hearing a hum. Is that the baptistry pump? Is that the projector screen? Or is it a missile coming?
Huh? He says it's not a projector.
You hear the hum?
Yes.
Okay.
The sound room said it's not.
Yeah, but I want them to tell me what it is, not what it's not. But anyway, we'll live with it. But I know it turned off. Somebody was listening. I don't know. Oregon. Sister God's for you? I don't know. All right, let's get down to business. Mark chapter 14. I'm just going to read a familiar passage and talk to you a little bit. We'll get into a little bit of what's current tonight, maybe. Chapter 14. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover, and of unleavened bread. And of the chief priests and scribes sought how they might take him, talking about Jesus, by craft. In other words, scheming. And put him to death. And they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. Wanted to hide it from the people, of course. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, he set at meat. There came a woman with an alabaster box of ointment, spikenard, very precious. She broke the box and poured it on his head, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone, why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good, but me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She's become aforehand to anoint my body for the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of a memorial for her. What am I hearing over here? Something? I'm going to go to the ear doctor tomorrow, but I got to get through tonight. You hear it too? I don't know what's going on here tonight. But anyway, I want you to know what this woman did. She did what she could. She acted on truth in the midst of a lot of deception and a lot of false witnessing going on. If we went on over in this chapter, we'd get on over in a chapter over in about verse 53, we'd find out where they were calling for false witness to come against Jesus. And finally down in verse 57, there were certain that bear false witness against him. And look how, talking about them trying to get him in craft and scheming and cheating. Said, we have heard him say, I will destroy this temple that he made with hands, that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did they, their witnesses, agree together. Now they couldn't even agree together, but come on down with me, and you'll find out that finally when the Lord tells them who he is, when the high priest adjures him to tells who he is, you find out that didn't matter. Truth didn't matter. They wanted to believe the false witnesses. This woman over here was accused of treating Jesus special. And you know who complained? If you'll read the scripture close, it was Judas Iscariot that was complaining. The Bible says he had the bag and he was a thief. And sad truth is, money is behind it today. Money and power and all the false witnesses they can gather, all behind it still today. Truth is very scarce in the land today. Pilate said, "What is truth?" when Jesus was standing in front of him, and truth was in front of him, and he didn't recognize it. I think it was Winston Churchill said this. He said, "Men sometimes stumble across truth, but they get up very quickly and run away and try to forget it." That's pretty good for the old guy, amen. He knew what he was talking about. We're in a day and age where, I guess it was George Orwell that wrote the book about what would be in 1984, where he flipped 1948 around and talked about the police state and the Big Brother government and being spied on and cameras following you everywhere. He described that in 1948, what is reality today. And all your communications monitored if they want to, and they do want to many times. They do. And by the way, you're not going to lay your cell phone down. It wouldn't matter what they told you. If they told you what you had for breakfast, you was going to be arrested because you discriminated against Sweeties and you ate Cheerios. And you'd still carry that thing around. I mean, none of you will hardly lay it down. I used to feel so bad for Lester Roloff. He'd preach against TV and nobody quit watching it. But he's right. Now we got the TV in our hand, over our heart, wherever you carry yours. But truth is a stranger in the land because it's so seldom spoken. But Orwell said this. Orwell said, "In a time of universal deceit, he that speaks the truth is a revolutionary." What a quote from a lost man. In a time of universal deceit, that's where we're at, folks. So anybody that speaks up with truth, now you're spotlighted. Now you're revolutionary. Now you're causing trouble. You're not going along with the crowd. And that's the day that we've moved to. So much distortion everywhere. And we had the case, and I know you're sad as I am. I hate to see Judge Roy Moore mistreated like he was. I believe he was framed. You say, well, you don't know. And they don't know either. But my sense of fairness has been offended. You ought to have a day in court. You ought to be able to face your accusers. You ought not be condemned just because some folks accuse you. And especially if something happened 40 years ago, if it happened. One of those women had three divorces, and he was the judge in one of the court cases where she had a divorce, and she's the one claims that he signed her yearbook. Something fishy. And he said the signature in the yearbook was the one that his assistant signed, Dave Adams. I met Dave Adams. And Dave Adams was here with him when he came and spoke. We picked him up at the airport that night. I hate to see anybody. My sense of fairness is offended. I want to say this. It's not the end of the world. It probably is the end of the man's political career. I tell you what his sin was. His sin was he stood for the Ten Commandments. His sin was that he asked the judges unto him, told the judges unto him, they did not have to marry gays. So he was a marked man from that time on. Do you understand they've spent $25 million, much of it coming from Hollywood, whereas he spent less than $1 million. And, of course, the media tried him. The media was the whole judge about it, the whole thing. But, by the way, talk about hypocrisy. Highly moral standard Hollywood. There's no more perverts. There's no more garbage, immoral garbage than comes out of Hollywood. And yet they set themselves up to be moral inspectors. What a joke. I hate that stuff. I hate it when truth gets perverted. I hate it when folks get deceived. And they did in this case. Truth was just sacrifice. That's all there was to it. You know what the cry today is, and you hear this, I hear it all the time. Well, preacher, you ought to be more tolerant. Let me explain why we should be tolerant. We can be tolerant of people, but we cannot be tolerant of truth and principles. You can have compassion on the sinner, but you don't try to say it's not sin when it is. Amen. And that's where our tolerance ought to come. Our tolerance is to take somebody that's fallen and nurse them back if we can, help them if we can. That kind of tolerance is right. Fellow said a long time ago, he said, we need a church that's not right with the world when the world is right. We need a church that's right when the world is wrong. Did you get that? And what's happened today, and you see it on TV all the time, adapt the world's ways, adapt the world's music, adapt the world's Bible, adapt the world's lack of standards, and call it a church. And that's what's going on. So truth is being sacrificed everywhere you turn, and somebody like the woman there that really wants to come and personally worship the Lord, they're going to be criticized. They're going to be mocked. They're going to be pointed out. They're going to be accused. Now, I think about in the case of the election out there in Alabama, with all that money and everything else, they still won it by maybe a point. And that come out of the big city, out of the garbage of humanity that they bust in to vote. Help yourself. It's the truth. But here, you say, but there was a lot of mothers that believed those women, and maybe they had some right to. But let me show you the hypocrisy of the women now. And think about, look up in the text in your Bible, what it says about silly women going about laden with their sins. Now think about this. I'm not going to vote for him because 40 years ago he was trying to date teenagers. None of them accused him of rape or anything. But I will vote for a baby killer.
Right.
There's a little inconsistency there.
Yeah.
I'll vote for the abortionist that's in favor of the 5,000 that's being aborted every day.
Right.
That's a double standard. That's worse than a double standard.
Right.
That's hypocrisy first class. Very, very much so. But I want to take this theme of missing truth and false witness bearing, apply it to ourselves just a little bit tonight for a few minutes. Maybe some lessons to watch out for. Let me get you to understand this. Expect to be hated if you're on God's side. Expect it. The woman put the ointment on him and got accused. She loved him. It was a personal thing. She had a far vision that the rest of them didn't see, but they didn't like it. Roy Moore's problem was his stand on gay marriage and standing for God. I don't know when Roy Moore got saved, but I've known him for 20 years. I had him here in the pulpit. I don't know if he got saved at 30 or whether he was saved before that. You got his word saying he wasn't guilty of going after the young girls that they accused him of when he was 30. I don't know. But I'll tell you this, we all owe to anybody that gets converted as a sinner to give them a chance to prove themselves if it's real or not.
Right.
Otherwise, all of us are in trouble. All of us. Amen. Paul would be in trouble.
Right.
Didn't he hold the garments of the ones that stoned Stephen? Would anybody doubt he was probably the greatest Christian we have a record of after the Lord himself? Uh-huh. But he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners before he got saved. When somebody gets saved, they may fake it and you'll find it out soon. You can't fake that very long.
Right.
But if you really get saved, you deserve a chance to prove yourself. Even if you're saved and you slip up and you repent and you get right, you deserve a chance.
Yeah.
Didn't Peter ask the Lord something about that? How many times, Lord? Well, how about 70 times 70? What he meant was just keep on.
Yeah.
Keep on giving a chance. So what we're looking at today is God's people are under attack. They have been. They will be. It's not going to let up, folks. We'll win some battles here and there, But we're not going to win the war till Jesus comes back. And we might as well get used to that and face that. That don't mean we don't fight, that we don't stand, that we don't contend, that we don't vote right, that we don't talk right, that we don't stand. We are to stand and contend for the faith. But don't kid yourself. You're not bringing in the kingdom. It's going to come when Jesus comes, and that's the only way it's going to come. Amen. Now, the world hates what I'm talking tonight. I have no doubt about that. They don't want to recognize that somebody can change, that Jesus can change them, that they can become a new creature in Christ. They don't want to recognize that. But yet history bears it out. Some of the greatest names in history, the man that wrote Amazing Grace, think about it. He's referring to himself when he said, the Lord saved a wretch like me. John Newton was talking about himself. Does anybody doubt but what he got changed? Look at his history. Where was he and what did he become? That's what Jesus can do. But the world don't want to recognize that. They don't want to accept that that could be the truth. But it is. So there's some lessons for you and I on this thing. We are going to be hated, but we got to keep on contending for right and contending in the spirit Jesus contended in. And that's hard. Somebody said, well, Jesus turned the other cheek. Would you? Well, I'm not Jesus. And I hope I don't have to prove one way or the other that I might or might not. And I don't want you to try to prove me, but the world don't understand the Jesus way. And often what is the greatest demonstration of strength in this world is looked at by the world as weakness. Really is. But the hate's going to continue. And the truth is going to be greatly distorted. Now, when President Trump identified the news media as fake news, it stuck because it was so true. Our heart said amen as soon as he said it. Because we've been saying that for years. I have. We called it spin, bias. We called it a lot of things, and it was all that. And fake news was a good label that stuck to it. Now, on a personal level, you and I need to be very slow to judge, very slow to repeat stuff that we don't know is true. It may feel good to repeat it. Somebody may say something to you, and you got great confidence in them, but they may have had somebody say it to them that they had great confidence in. And way back down the road, it just may be false as all get out. Got to watch for that. People do things because somebody else do them. Somebody else. I think about the young lady that got married. And she started to cook a meal, and the husband happened to be watching, and she laid a big ham out there in the pan, and she took the big knife, and she whacked off the end of it. Discarded it. Well, he didn't understand that. He said, why'd you waste a good piece of ham? Well, I don't know. I always saw Mama do it. So next time it was over, he said, your daughter said that you always chop off a piece of ham before you cook it. She said, yeah. He said, why? Well, because my mother did it. He happened to know her mother was still alive. So he went to her and he asked her, he said, Granny, how come you always chop off a piece of the ham? She said, well, my pan was always too small. Now, we laugh about that. But aren't we creatures that do that?
Right.
On big, important stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
So-and-so said it. It must be true. No, not necessarily. We got to watch out for that fake stuff because it'll not only be coming over the TV, it'll be coming out of our mouth. And we're just as guilty when we do that on a personal letter. We ought to be slow to judge and slow to repeat gossip. It's the easiest thing to do, folks. It's a part of our depraved nature. That's why it's hard to keep a secret. I've told you about the girl that said, I don't know why. Said, people don't tell me a secret. She said, I can keep a secret. It's my friends that can't. Think that one through. A lot of truth to that. And you got to watch out for it on a personal level, right? In church. In fact, two words that's often associated with church. One of them's gossip. The other one's hypocrisy. Now, why is that? Because the church has lived up to those two titles in too many cases. We've all heard about, who was it, Mordecai Ham or Sam Jones, one of the evangelists that was famous for being a little bit crude. By the way, there's been some preachers in the past God used that would make Donald Trump seem like a clean Sunday school boy. I'm not kidding you. Billy Sunday, for instance. I'm not kidding you a bit, but you know the evangelist, I think it was Sam Jones, that he's preaching on gossip. And he was preaching about long-tongued women. Now, ladies, you've probably got the worst of it, but men are pretty bad too. But he was preaching on long-tongued women. And there was one in the congregation, probably more than one, but one come to him at the end of the sermon, and the invitation was going on. She come and said, "Mr. Jones, I have come tonight to lay my tongue on the altar." And he looked and he said, "Well, I don't know if you can get it all on there or not, if it's long enough." But there'd been some preachers that were pretty rough a few times. But they got the point across, and God used them. Now, watch out for gossip. I want to identify gossip just a little bit. Gossip is communication. It don't have to necessarily be words coming out of your mouth. Sometimes it can be a nod. It can be a look. We're in a day and age when it can easily be a text. And that's where our trouble's rising from today, very much. The kids have got something going on with their phones, and I blame them, but I blame parents first. And in fact, I didn't solve that phone problem. I didn't solve it for you, just so easy. Any of you parents, I'll give you the answer right now. Get them a phone like mine. Solved. It's cheap. In fact, you can buy them probably very cheap. Nobody wants them. They do the strangest thing, phone like I have. It'll actually make a phone call. It will not send you a picture. It will not send you a text. It will not receive a text from you. And about half the time, it don't ring too good. But about as often as I want it to, I solve a problem. You got a bunch of these little girls, they've stood in front of the mirror. They've decided they're pretty. But they're afraid the world don't know they're pretty. So what they got to do is send their picture over line so everybody can notice and see how pretty I am. Well, when that don't work too good, then they try to get prettier. I just made a word. They start showing more skin, more nudity, because they want everybody to know how pretty they are. And then you boys, you just sucker for it. It's a fool on both ends of that communication. And in the long run, you'll regret it. You'll regret it 100 different ways. And girls, if some boy asks you to send them a picture that's inappropriate, you ought to drop him like a hot rock and not dialogue back and forth about it. In the old days, girls would slap faces. And I'm not going to ask you if I ever had mine slapped. I'll plead the Fifth Amendment. But you didn't say the wrong thing. You didn't do the wrong thing. You could get 5 fingers across your cheek. Some of you don't know what that is. You've never been slapped. See me after the service. And I'll show you how it feels. You won't forget it. Now, the truth of the matter is, the old-fashioned standards would still solve our troubles today. But I'm talking Greek to you. I'm talking over your head. Well, yeah, take the phone from the other kid, but not mine. Mm-hmm. I know where you're at. Truth is being distorted today. Fake news, but it's working on God's people on a personal level. Don't text something. You say, well, it disappeared. It didn't disappear on God's text machine.
Right.
He still got it.
Yeah.
And let me also say this. Just because you hear something that's bad and you know it's true, you're still not commissioned to repeat it.
Yeah.
You understand? Well, preacher, I told it, but it was true. That does not justify it. Does not make it right. And so many folks think that's the measuring stick. That's not the measuring stick. Say, well, how would I keep from doing that? Well, put yourself in that place. It's what Jesus called the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Sometime what we need to show is not justice, but mercy to somebody.
Amen.
Mercy to somebody. And how are we missing that today, folks? Somebody thinks I'm letter of the law. No, I got mercy and compassion, but I'm not going to compromise the truth. The truth is the truth. The principle is the same. It's got to be the same. And if even lost men recognize a standard has to be held. And we move to the place, though, as Orwell said, that we are in a universe of deceit. And therefore, truth is such a odd thing, and the one that delivers it will often be attacked for it. You need to learn this about truth. Truth can make you greatly loved, and truth can make you greatly hated. Greatly hated. It honestly can. Now, expect more of what we're seeing in the news and all, but it's not the end of the world. It just tells me Jesus is coming. And I want to be very careful that he finds me walking by his rules, not the world's.
Yeah.
And we've come to a day and time when a false accusation can break a man's career, destroy him, which we saw with Judge Moore. Heaven will reveal the honest stuff about that. But the method that was used and the motive behind it, when the Washington Post... Now think about this. What was their motive to go back 40 years into a man's hometown and life in high school? By the way, they tried to do that on Mitt Romney when he was running, remember? They went back to his high school and got one other boy to say he bullied me. You remember that? Now, a motive there. Somebody ought to be checking somebody's motive on that. The Washington Post is the reason that you got a liberal Democrat that wants to kill babies now going to be seated in January in the Senate. So the news media nullified the voting system and put a man in by destroying the opposition. Do you follow that? That's exactly what happened, folks. Exactly what happened. Did they pay the witnesses? That'd be interesting to check on. That would be very, very interesting. I'll tell you what else the Washington Post did. And if I hadn't offended you yet, maybe this will. I'll tell you what else they did. They whitewashed over Ted and Jack Kennedy. They whitewashed over Martin Luther King. Big time. I found it so hypocritical and ironic. By the way, if you think I'm making this up, just in the last few weeks... The material that had been kept confidential by the FBI had to be released after Trump got in. Remember, he signed and caused it to be released. What the FBI had on President Kennedy in their documents, what they had on Martin Luther King in their documents. Now, when they had to give them up to the reporters, they had to black out a lot of it. You know what? You've seen that. But still, not all of it. And it is rough. And the Washington Post knew that, and the New York Times knew that, and all the liberal left knew that all during the years. CIA knew it, FBI knew it, all of that. In fact, Q Kennedy's guard stood guard at the door while he was having his affairs, not only with Marilyn Monroe, but there was a, and the paper had her name in it, and I can't remember it right now, but they had this girl's name in it, who was a Russian, who was known to be somewhat of a spy for Russia. She was at a strip joint dance place, and she put on a program every night, and President Kennedy went and watched her performance and then invited her to his private quarters for supper while guard stood guard. This preacher didn't make that up. You can dig it out. Some of you folks get on your internet and do something worthwhile. Dig some of it up. It's there. It was in the news in the last few months. You're looking at me like I made it up. I didn't. Martin Luther King was sleeping with communist spies. And what I thought was so funny was Jack Kennedy warned him, "You're sleeping with a communist," and while he was doing the same thing. And then Teddy Kennedy. Did you ever read the book called Teddy Bear? You ought to read the book called Teddy Bear. Only bear is not B-E-A-R, it's B-A-R-E. Bear. Teddy naked. Teddy took Nancy Joe in the car after the party, who he was having an affair with, and some think she was pregnant, and run off the bridge and drowned her. Do you remember that story? You kids are looking at me. I know you don't read history, but these old folks ought to know what I'm talking about. It's amazing how the newspapers cover who, for who they want to, and then attack who they want to. And you'll find every time they're attacking God's side and covering up for the devil. I didn't say one word there I'd have to take back in a court of law. I put my hand on the Bible, every word I just said to you, and feel real good about it. Whether you like it or not, that's truth. It is amazing to me how God keeps the world going, even as good as it's going, and it wouldn't be going as good as it is, except God's people, the salt and light, we're still here, and we're still doing a job. We are in the minority, but as long as we're here, God's full judgment's not falling on planet Earth. We are his ambassadors. You heard Blake singing a while ago about telling folks about Jesus. That's what we're left here for. Left to do that. And we're not doing as good a job, maybe, as we used to. Sometimes we get a little bit intimidated. We shouldn't. We're still on the winning side. Because the game's not over till Jesus gets back. And the final scores run up. Expect more to come. Expect more deception. The Bible says the deception will be so strong that almost the elect will be deceived. That's pretty strong. Now, when it comes to gossip and hearsay and judging others, we ought to be very careful. Amen. Treat them as we'd like to be treated. That don't mean we compromise with sin, but we ought to be real careful. The Bible says that the tongue of man is set on fire of hell. That's what James says. Read the book of James. He had a lot to say about your tongue. It's a bad thing when it's out of control. It can be out of control before you know it. I've said this probably in preaching before. I hate alcohol. I hate what it does to families. I hate what it does in the drunkard's home. I hate it. I hate dope and all I've seen it do. I hate the immorality and all I've seen it do. But I'm going to tell you, a sin that is right up there with them and maybe a little above them, that's the sin of gossip. Call it backbiting, call it sowing discord, it does more damage. It can do more damage in a church. It can do more damage and it has. You're seeing right now, we all always had such great respect for our FBI, but we've kind of lost it, haven't we? All of a sudden we see what's going on. Folks, we've got to be careful. This is the day that the Bible predicted where the devil would come in with his deceit, and all the destruction and all the damage that we see done is being done. Let's not become a victim ourselves. Worse than becoming a victim, let's not become a participator in it. That's where we're going to watch out, that he can't use us And he's and you and greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He can't use us unless we volunteer, unless we surrender to him. Let's make sure we don't. All right, Hector, you want choir practice? I don't know.